All right, we're going to do the series, What's My Gift? This is part five, and this will be the last one of the gifts, and maybe do something a little bit next week, sort of similar. But this is the last one. We've already went through six already, so this will be the seventh gift that is found in Romans chapter 12, okay? Remember, this is the gifts of the Father, or the motivational gifts. To me, it's kind of like your spiritual personality, and we're going to look at the gift of giving today. So, did you know that you don't have to be rich in this world to have a motivational gift of giving? You know, a lot of people maybe think they do. But technically, all of us are called to be givers. You know, it's ever a Christian's responsibility to fund the gospel and to give to the poor. You know, the Bible says when we give to the poor, we lend to the Lord. So it's good to help people in need. Someone also has the gift or ability to take it to the next level, and that's what this person is, if you have the gift of giving. You know, some of you right now are probably praying, oh Lord, don't give me this gift. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, you in your carnal flesh, you're saying, Lord, don't give me the gift of giving. You know, but if you really have this gift, that's when you're going to really be fruitful. Truth is that those who have this gift, it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing when they give. And if God gives you this gift, don't you think he'll make it sure that you have something to give? I mean, we've got to remember that. You know, God gives seed to the sower, okay? So if God has given you this gift, he's going to make sure you have something to give. Okay, so Romans chapter 12, verse 6 to 8 is our scripture that we're going to launch with again. It says, since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the propitiation of his faith. If service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for this opportunity today to be able to bring the word of God. Lord, we thank you for the anointing that's here today to break every yoke of bondage upon our lives. We know that Satan has been attacking lately, Lord, but we thank you that we are more than conquerors through you. No matter what he brings, Lord, your grace is sufficient. Lord, we thank you for the power of the penetrating presence that you have here today. Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to launch into this. Remember, as we started this series, something the Lord spoke into my heart is the fact that our ministry is fueled by grace, attained by faith, and labored in love. Those three things are operating in our life when we endeavor to do God's will. Amen? We need to endeavor to do God's will all the time. We want to be in God's will and what he's wanting to do. Remember, grace is God's power that he gives us to be able to fill the call of God upon our lives. Each of us have a special calling, and each of us has a special gift that God has put inside of us. Now, granted, sometimes we may flow in all these little gifts here as needed, but primarily you have one dominant gift that is a little bit stronger. And so they're attained by faith. You know, it's something that we got to step out, we got to launch out, we got to grab a hold of it and really go with it. And then also it's labored in love. Anytime you serve God, we have to endeavor to labor in love, because sometimes you're going to feel like you've been taken advantage of. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it feels that way. Anytime you do some things, and sometimes especially if you get a little stressed out, you're going to feel like somebody's taking advantage of you. But I just encourage you, put your focus back on God and just do what he's called you to do. Not what everybody's told you to do, but what God has called you to do. That's the important thing that you and I do. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, you know, we're going to be successful. You know, one scripture that's always helped me in life, whenever I feel like, you know, things are, you know, more than I can handle. And maybe you've been there, maybe you're there today. But the Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So as long as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, not our own righteousness, but his righteousness, but as we do that, you know, things are going to really start to work out in your life and gets our perspective back. Okay, a little bit of background on this. These seven motivational gifts, the gift of the Father, And like I said, they're sort of our spiritual personality on how we kind of flow with God. Remember, we looked at prophecy. Prophecy is the eyes of the body of Christ. And that gift, you know, can be a little harsher if not tempered with a little bit of love. And, you know, that gift is able to see and to be able to, you know, see things that needs to be done and be able to deal with them. Then we have service. That's the hands of the body of Christ. A lot of people have the gift of serving. Even if we don't have this gift, we're still called to serve each other. There's every now and then we may have to start washing dishes around here every now and then, right? If we have a dinner or something, well, I don't have the gift of serving. Well, that doesn't mean you can't wash the dishes. You know, I don't have that gift really technically, but I wash the dishes every now and then. So we can still serve each other. Also, it talks about teaching. Teaching is the mind of the body of Christ. This person is really good at studying and really getting things done, and we need that type of person. You know, we have that flowing in our adult room study sometimes. You know, we see that gift in operation, so I encourage you to come out, especially on Wednesday night, and be a part of that. You know, you adults, you know, we have kids coming, but we need more adults, and we'd like to see you grow in the gift that God's given you and in the life of God. And today we're going to look at giving. That's the arms of the body of Christ, and we're going to go into that a little bit deeper. Then we have exhortation. That's the mouth of the body of Christ. That's the kind of person that's rah-rah, you know, pick people up, encourage them, come on, you can do it. You know, kind of hang in there. We need that too, because every now and then we need lifted up. Then we have administration. That's the head of the body of Christ. We need people in the body of Christ that can, you know, step into projects and be able to see them done, make sure the materials are all there and all these things. They just have a knack for it. That's the gift that God's put inside of them. And then lastly is mercy. That's the heart of the body of Christ. You know, we need people that love, because every now and then you just need a little love, don't you? You need somebody to know that somebody's in your corner and they love you, and they love you just as you are, just like God loves you, just for who He is. Now, this teaching that I'm sharing today is something that I learned in my home church. When I got saved out in Denver, nobody hardly told me how to get saved in Iowa. I had to go out of state to get saved. We're turning that around, amen? You know, we're telling people about Jesus now. But I went to Denver, and that's where I got saved. And, you know, the idea of this and these concepts, you know, were ingrained in me through my local church. And then I went to, you know, Maren Hickey Bible College. She was the pastor's wife. And so these gifts have been exposed to me. And a lot of that, you know, information that we're sharing was gained by years of observation of people flowing in their gifts and out of that local church. So without further ado, we're going to jump into giving. You know, who has the motivational gift of giving? And what this is, and I've watched in this congregation, I know several of you that do have this gift. I've watched you in operation. And, you know, it just makes me grin. You know, I see somebody just, you know, just stepping into what they're supposed to do. You know, it's a spiritual need to give. It's a spiritual thing. And it's something that they really love to do. And for them, you know, giving is an effortless act of love. And it's something that they really brings great joy spiritually to them. See, to those who have the motivational gift of giving, giving is an effortless lack of act of love. And see, that's what we need to see if you flow in this gift. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive, but we know we have to receive every now and then, right? You're going to have nothing to give. But this person really flows in that idea. They can just tap into that, and it brings so much fulfillment. Now, without saying anything else, I want you to understand that when we step in our gift is when we really feel fulfillment. Now, we all know what that feels like, right? We love to feel fulfilled. We love to feel that what we do matters. Amen? That's the way God wired us. You know, and hopefully, you know, we step out and we try to learn and we try to experiment with these things and just see. And there's a spiritual gifts test I'll probably put on the website. And that you can take this test. And what I encourage people to do, before I forget, is you take the test and see what you are, then bounce it off your spouse, if you're married, or a close friend, and just see what they think. And then have, if it doesn't jive, take the test with them, and you know, it might help you zero in a little bit better. I don't hate to say this wrong, but sometimes we don't see ourselves clearly. You know what I mean? We think we're something else, and we're not. Like I always told that joke after in Bible school when we just had this teaching again, and I went up to Denise and told her I had the gift of mercy. And she immediately said, "No, you don't." You know, but by what it said, it was something I wanted to be. I want to be merciful. And I am sometimes, but it's not my motivational gift. You know, I'm not wired that way. I have to work at tempering the prophecy motive gift, you know, and keeping it in check, you know, and know that, you know, just because, you know, I may know what gets somebody free, and it's mostly repentance, amen? Praise God for repentance. See, I'm a prophecy motive. I love repentance. But see, sometimes you got to make sure they're ready to receive, and that's what tempering your gift means a little bit. Okay, so some characteristics of this person is that they have an ability to make wise purchases and investments. See, they see money as a tool and not a god, okay? And we need to see it that way. A lot of people worship money, don't they? They think the more money they can get, you know, the better off they're going to be. But that's not really the case. Money, just like most things in life, is only a tool. Money's a tool. We use it as a tool to pay our bills. Why? Because we don't want the electricity turned off, right? We don't want the heat turned off. It's a tool to feed our families. And mostly also, we have to understand that it's a tool to grow the kingdom of God. As we use our money as a tool and we invest it in souls, then we start to see the kingdom of God grow. Now, God really doesn't need money. He doesn't use money. You know, God uses faith, right? We got to have faith. But yet his churches know that, hey, we need, you know, finances in the church to run the lights and make sure the internet works all the time, even though it probably just got unplugged a little bit today. That's probably my fault up there. It's kind of right at my feet when I'm setting things up. But anyway, so we need to see money as a tool. Because it's an important thing that we, and that'll free us up. You want to, and I'll be honest, this is just a side thought. If you're, I don't want to say this wrong, but if you're a tightwad or somebody that really, really clamps on money tight, you know how to get free from that? Anybody want to know? Nobody? Okay. Anyway, give. Find somebody that has a need and give. That's the only way you can kill greed. Is by giving. That's the best way, you know. And believe me, I know it works that way. So anyway, so the person that has this gift, it kind of goes both ways, but primarily they desire to give quietly to quality ministries and projects. You know what I mean? They just kind of want to give to those things and they don't make a big fuss about it. Now, there's times they will, and I'm going to go into that. But primarily they just like to give behind the scenes. They like to see things happen. They don't give to get attention. You know, but they give to get things done. And there's a difference. You know, and it's not good. You know, God says don't let the, you know, the left hand know what the right hand or whatever. That's how it goes. You know, we shouldn't blow our horn or toot our horn, shall we say, when we give into something. Look at me. Look what I've done. That's really not the right spirit, you know, to give. You know, I don't diss them and we may have them, but we've never had a memorial fund here, or we put names on a plaque. I'm not against it, but I don't know. I mean, when giving, to me, giving is a private thing, you know, and it should be, because I believe we get the full benefit from God is when we just kind of keep it as secret as possible, and then God will give us, you know, back. Now, if you're trying to give and you want to draw attention, so I'm not saying that's what people do when they do that, but, you know, we want to make sure, you know, that we give with the right attitude, like they don't give to get attention. Also, they can use their giving to motivate others to give. You know, they might give a matching fund. You know, let's say, hey, I'll donate up to $1,000, and you can match that, and it'll double it. You know what I'm saying? So they'll, like, if people respond to $500, well, then they'll give $500 to match it. So just a way of, they have a keen insight of seeing that it really takes finances sometimes to get things done. It's this, and the body of Christ needs that, just like we need all the other pieces of the puzzle, all the other six gifts. We need this seventh gift also. They're alert. They have a spiritual sensitivity to see the financial needs of others that maybe other people overlook. You know, other people may just see past the situation, but when they're just, their spiritual ears kind of prick up a little bit when they can kind of see a need, and they're going to see, you know, they can see down the road, and they see, hey, yeah, we know we need some finances for this. So they just have an ability from God, you know, to be able to see, you know, just a little farther down the road. They enjoy giving so much that high pressure appeals turn them off. You know, I've been around places where they're really doing some arm twisting in their giving. And I personally don't care for that either. But these people, it really turns them off. because they just have such a heart and a motivation to give that they don't like it when they feel that people's kind of manipulating people. And I know we don't try to do that here. I hope you don't feel that way in your giving. This kind of gift also experiences great joy when they have given into something and it's an answer to prayer. I don't know if you've ever felt that where somebody, you know, maybe God touched your heart to do something and, oh man, they've been praying for this. And it's just so fulfilling because number one, it shows that you heard from God. You know what I mean? I mean, love to hear from God. You know how I learned to hear from God? I prayed when I first got saved during the offering, God, what do you want me to do? Because I didn't understand tithing yet, but I did understand that I really thought it was necessary that I learned how to hear from God. And I'll be honest, that's how God taught me. And to hear him, because a lot of times the number that God would put in my heart to give right in the check, somebody at the pulpit would mention that number for some odd reason. You know, just that number. And it was way because in my heart, I really want to hear from God. I really believe that God's real. I really believe that God has a plan for my life, and I believe that, you know, as I relinquish, you know, control of my life to God, that God wants me to hear him. He doesn't want me just to wander around aimlessly on this planet just waiting to die. So that's one way that I learned how to hear from God, and it worked for me. And then once I got a little older in the faith, another, 6 months or a year, I went to Bible school, and then we had a class on giving, and I've been tithing, ever since, probably around 1985, given, that way, and then adding on if God, wanted me to do so. But that's just the way of giving and learn how to hear from God. They prefer, if they're married, to have their spouse to confirm the amount of the gift sometimes. And me and my wife do that every now and then, and more times than not, we're the same number. And I think that's awesome. Just the way that we show that my wife and I are in unity together, and also that we're not stingy. We want to share. We want to give into the gospel. And I'm just going to put a disclaimer. You can't help everybody. I don't want you to feel that. That ever need you here that you're supposed to be involved in. I don't believe that. I believe that you need to be led by the Spirit, outside of your tithing and things that we know that we're supposed to do, that we can't be a part of everything in this community even, let alone in the world. But see, God has things that he wants us to do. Amen? He has things that he wants our church and us individually to be a part of. And we need to make sure that we're doing that. And it's okay to say no if you don't really feel God leading you that way. They want to make sure the gift is high quality. And I've always told this joke. It's not really a joke. It's really a true story, and it's kind of pathetic. But in Bible school, Frida, she's one of the pastors at the church, and she's also had been in mission field, and she was from Canada. Maybe that's what it is. No, I'm just kidding. It's a Canadian joke. But anyway, when she was on the mission field down in Panama, I think, that the church she came from would send them the used tea bags. They would, make their tea, and they would save it because they always said, well, the missionaries can use it. I mean, how many wants a used tea bag? Come on now. None of them people had the spiritual minister gift of giving, because if you have that giving, you'd send them a new tea bag. Amen? Missionaries deserve a new tea bag. They need to, So anyway, that's just kind of crazy. But we want to make sure that when we give, I mean, you may not be able to afford new and everything, but if you do, just give the best quality you can, in your giving. And I believe God will honor that, because there's a heart there of excellence. I mean, we're not a big flashy church, I don't believe, in any way, shape, or form. I mean, we don't really go for the big wow in a lot of things. And, what we can do, we try to give quality. Amen? We try to do the best we can so we can glorify God in that. And they desire to feel a part of the project they're given to. So if they give into something, they may want a little updates every now and then, a little feedback about what God's doing and how that works. Now, some of the misunderstandings of this gift when people see them, maybe they're on a board together or something, serving together, and they, there's a lot of board things. Some people get really rattled on some of these, but, due to being money-minded, they can get judged by, they focus on temporal values. So they see the importance of let's say, practical needs. You know what I mean? So some people who maybe have some of the other gifts, well, you know, the teacher might think, well, you're not as spiritual because you're not really, you know, putting the spiritual stuff ahead. But really, to them, they are. Because to them, giving is a spiritual thing. It is a spiritual thing. And it should be for all of us when we give part of what God has entrusted us. You know, we're a steward, right? Nobody's, to my knowledge, nobody's been able to take it with them, right? And you heard that story I told before, and I've heard it somewhere, you know, that this husband died, and he told his wife that when he dies, he wants to make sure, you know, that she puts all his money in the casket with him, you know, so that he can take it with him. Well, he did die ahead of her, and so she wrote a check, and she put it in the casket. You know what I mean? So he definitely had it. He had everything, right? But, you know, he couldn't cash it, right? So that, you know. But anyway, so that's kind of how that works sometimes. So some people view money. Now, some people, you know, in certain denominations, they view money as evil. But it's the love of money that's evil. Not money's not evil. Like I said, money's a tool. You know, you got to have a tool. And you need the right tool for the job, right? So money's not evil, but if you love it, if money's more important to you than anything else, then that's a problem because, you know, it does take money to do ministry. You know, it does take that. So, you know, we're so thankful that we do have a generous church and, you know, thanks for that. We can usually fulfill a lot of the needs that we're called upon. So praise God for that. So, and also sometimes they're giving, some people might say, you know, it has strings attached because maybe they give, you know, into this fund and then they say, you know, they want it to go here. And then, you know, and I'll be honest, we had an example. I can't remember what it was right now. But somebody wanted to give money to the church. And it was for something that we would never, ever do. And so I turned it down. Because if I'd have taken that money and used it for the wrong thing, I would have been in sin. You know what I mean? But I just told them, I'm sorry, that's really not in our vision to do that. I don't even know where we would send that money, you know. So we turned that down. And, you know, so there was kind of some strings attached on that. But I'll be honest, as you understand, you know, the borrower becomes a lender's slave, right? To me, I would rather give, you know, than have somebody have, you know, power over me. You know what I'm saying? In some ways. Now, you do have to borrow for a house sometimes and things like that. But, you know, primarily we want to make sure that we don't put ourselves in a position, you know, where we get where we're kind of hemmed in a corner, okay? Now, they attempt to motivate others may seem pushy. They just love to give, and like I say, not everybody has that gift, so that when they're kind of, you know, pushing, hey, we ought to give this, we need to give this money, and hey, if we all gave $100, you know, we get this done. Well, some of the people don't have $100, and they say, hey, you're kind of pushing me here. You know, I don't want to do that. You know, so that sometimes, you know, they just like, you know, like I said before, when we have a gift, we think everybody else is like us. But we're not, right? You know, just like that love language test, you know, there's 5 love language, hypothetically. You know, if you've ever taken that test, I encourage you to take that if you haven't taken it. That's a real good one to understand each other, as well as a spiritual gift. But, you know, so they can kind of seem a little pushy. Pressure appeals, like I said, turns them off, and that makes them uncaring. They can get really tune out on a deal and miss out. This is one I really want you to hear, if you have this gift, because you need to hear this one, is that sometimes people who have this gift of giving, they only like to give into the things of the kingdom. And their family sometimes is left wanting. You know what I mean? So they may, you know, give something into the church, but then they say no to their kids on something kind of practical that they need. You know what I'm saying? So you want to make sure if you have that gift, you need to think about your spouse. You need to think about your family and try to make sure that you don't come across as, you know, somebody that doesn't care about their needs. And here you're giving to this missionary way over there, or you're taking money out of your pocket, you're walking down the street, and you give this poor person $100, and now you guys don't have food to eat on. You know what I'm saying? So you got to make sure that you kind of bring in the idea of not, you know, isolating your family and leaving them out of this the deal there, okay? Now, their desire to always get a good deal can make them lose sight of completing the goal. So they're really focused on money, but it's not in a bad way. But these are some of the things they have to be careful about. Okay, the biblical example that we're going to look at today is Abraham, okay? Many of you know Abraham in the New Testament, primarily Genesis, correct? Now, he was a blessed man. You know, Abraham made some mistakes, like we all do. He made some big mistakes, you know, in the Bible, where he, you know, told this guy that his wife's his sister. Technically, she was his half-sister, you know, but he said that because he was afraid. But yet, you know, just like all of us, we may have great faith in a certain area. You know, you may have great faith for finances, but then when it comes to healing, you struggle. You know, or other things, you know. So we all may have areas of blindness in our life, our blind spots. So Abraham, he was a blessed man. Just for whatever reason, Abraham had stuff. He always had stuff. No matter where he went and what he did, he was just blessed. And there's people like that. They don't even have to try. They just blessed. You know, stuff coming their way. And a little bit about the personality of Abraham, maybe why this happened, is the fact that he was very generous. You remember, he was the blessed one. Lot, his nephew, he was kind of a shyster, wasn't he? A little bit. So when they came and they started to get so blessed, they had so many animals and there wasn't enough grass to feed Abraham's stuff and Lot's stuff because they were just so blessed. Well, they had to part company. One of them had to go one way, one had to go the other. And here Abraham, he was the patriarch, you know. He was the one who really brought the blessing. And he could have just picked first. You know, you should let the older person pick first, right? But he said, no, Lot, you go ahead and pick. So he let Lot pick, and of course, Lot, being the shyster that he was, he picked what seemed to be the best. You know, but really that got him in trouble. Because the Bible says Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. Meaning when he put his tent down, he was looking towards Sodom, and it wasn't long that sheep herder was living in town. And he got in trouble. Because he walked away from where he was supposed to be, and he got in the city where he shouldn't have been. And you know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? But Abraham, he was generous. And he also helped others in need. Lot got taken captive. A bunch of people did. So Abraham put his little army together, and he set off, and they won the battle and set them free. You know, going into war, kind of expensive. You got to make sure you're taking enough food along for everybody and doing all this. And so he was very a giving person. And he wanted to give God all the glory for material blessings, because what happened after they went into that little battle and they not only got their stuff back, but they got the stuff back of others. So this king says, hey, I want to give you all this. Abraham, nope, don't want nothing from you. God's my source. I'm only going to take what God gives me. Amen? And so that's how that story kind of ended. And then it got into the place where, you know, he received a lot of blessing. Now, he also was a shrewd businessman. His wife died ahead of him. And he was in a strange land, shall we say. And when he wanted to put her in a cave and to bury her there, but he didn't own any land. So he was a traveler. So then he went to the people of that nation. And he said, hey, I want to buy this. And you know, and the guy said, here, take it. You know, you're such a blessed man. And Abraham said, no, I don't want free. I don't want free. Now, a lot of people say, okay, free, praise God, I'll take it, you know, right? That's what a lot of us have done. Oh, yeah, that's God blessing, amen. But what he said, no, tell me the fair price. I'll pay for it because it's my responsibility. And so he did, weighed out the money, and then went on that way. So he's very shrewd in that way. So like I said, Abraham was a good picture of somebody that had this. Now, as we look at why this is so important, these seven gifts, you know, and that we flow in them, because it's important that we understand the idea of bodybuilding. I was going to have Jimmy come up here because he can lift a lot of stuff. You know, he lifted dead weight, right? What's that called? Deadlift? But I thought people might get offended, you know. Just kidding. Nobody got that joke. Anyway. All right. But anyway, A lot of us are dead weight sometimes, don't we? Ever felt like dead weight? I sink, I don't float, you know. I don't know, I just, when I'm in the ocean. The ocean holds me up, but other places I go down. But anyway, bodybuilding. And then we need to see that. We need to picture ourselves as a part of the body. You know, each person is necessary. If you're here today or you're listening to my voice, you're necessary. You're important. You know, God, I want you to picture what God's like. Think about what God's like. Do you think God would create something that is unuseful? Would he create you and create you that, hey, I'm going to create somebody and they're just worthless? They're unuseful. No. God wouldn't do that. God believes everybody is worthwhile. And you need to see yourself as part of that equation, part of the body, that we all have a part to play. Now, you know, we're in church now, and, you know, a lot of times, especially in our culture, the way, you know, in this kind of atmosphere, shall we say, this is more of a lecture-type situation. We're not called just to attend church, but we're called to be the church. So there's a lot of different opportunities that you and I can avail ourselves to be involved in a body of Christ. You know, picture a body. You have the head, you got the hands, you got the feet, you know. Some of us got the belly, amen, you know what I'm saying? All that stuff. So each of us has a part to play. And I go back about being fulfilled, because there was times in my life that I was not fulfilled. And until we get to that sweet spot, like I say, like in a bat, you hit the sweet spot, the ball goes. And when we step into that sweet spot of our calling, of what God's wanting us to be a part of, that's when we start to get that fulfillment. And that gives us a reason. You know, I've always said this, you have to have a reason to wake up every day. If you don't have a reason to wake up, it ain't long, you ain't going to wake up. So we got to find a reason. What it is that why God's put us on this planet. What it is God wants us to do. And how we can fulfill that plan. And be a part of it. And try to build the body of Christ. We need to build it up and make it stronger. Remember, I shared that, you know, something is only as strong as its weakest link. A chain is, correct? So we need to build each other up, not tear each other down. You know, we need to make sure that we're speaking words of life and not words of death. You know, when we're trying to encourage each other and trying to get each person, you know, across that finish line into the thing that God's called them to do. I want to be the kind of person that is always encouraging them and trying to see it and pick them up and say, hey, you can make it. I made it, you can make it. Yeah. You know, that's how I look at it. God saved me, I know God can save anybody. You know, and we need to see that we're not going to write anybody off, but we want to see God glorified. So these gifts that God has put inside of us were given to us by God, and we just need to flow with them. I have a few closing points here, is the fact that when we employ our gift, that's when we feel connected. You know, I hope everybody here feels connected today, and we need to find room for more people to get connected. Amen. We need to reach out to the community and draw people in. You're the best advertising we got. Amen? You are the best advertising. Your life is the best advertising. See, what happens, though, if we're not careful, is that life has a way of lulling us to sleep. And before we know it, a year has gone by, and it looks like the only thing we have done is to survive it. And that's a fact. You know, and you'll find out the more years you're alive, how true that is. And there's going to be ebbs and flow in our life, right? There's going to be high times and low times, you know. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we don't just allow ourselves just to unplug and just go with the flow. See, we need to live life intentionally. You know, what that means is that we need to live life on purpose. We need to have a plan. See, good intentions will not get us there, but purposeful actions will. So, you maybe have heard me talk about these gifts, and maybe you feel that God has called you into some of them, or one of them especially. Well, you need to act upon that. You know, like I said, another year is going to come by, and nothing's going to happen. You know, I believe God had called me to preach, but till I started to step out and do that, you know, it didn't happen. I remember exactly where I was standing in Happy Church that night when there was a prophecy came forth. And to be honest, the pastor said he had a word for us. And we were sitting back there, and I sat into a guy, and he's passed away now. But I wasn't even going to stand up because, bless God, I had the word. I was fine. I didn't really need any more encouragement, I thought. But this guy turned to me and said, "Hey, everybody needs a word." I said, "Yeah, okay." So I stood up, and the pastor started to prophesy. And God started to do some things inside of me to formulate some of that gifting he had put inside of me. Then I had to act on it. You know, I had to act on it. I had to step out in faith. And they were looking for some children's teachers. And, you know, and a person said to you, "Hey, you ever thought about teaching Sunday school?" "No." But I did then. You know what I did? I went and tried it. I went and did it. I had to step out. I knew God had put some gifts inside of me, but those gifts aren't going to grow unless I use them. And that's how we get developed spiritually, is we step out in some of these things and we start to utilize these gifts, and then they start to get better. Just like if you're wanting to lift weights. I mean, you may not be able to lift a 10-pound weight now, but you start with that 10 or 5 pounds and start building up. All of a sudden you can do 10 pounds. And then you can do 20 pounds. Well, who knows how far you can go? But you got to start where you're at. Nobody starts perfect or in perfection, walking in where God wants them. No, we start out what we know, and as we use what we know, God gives us more. It just works like that, people. Trust me. I'm not lying. It works that way. We just have to step out. See, it's not just what I think, but what I do that matters. And we have to understand that. See, we need to make things happen, or we'll wake up one day and we're going to wonder what happened. And that's a fact. And I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be the person that just kind of went with the flow and just went through the motions of life. You know, paying my bills, doing my thing, you know, and then wake up one day and my life's over. And I'd never really accomplished anything for God. That bothered me. I wanted to do something for God because he loved me so much that he sent his son to die for me. Surely, I know I couldn't earn my salvation, but I did know I could do something for him just to show him how I loved him, because it was so important what he did for me. See, it's only when we're in the flow is that we'll really know. You have to get into the flow of God's Spirit. We're a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the things of the Spirit, you know, and how important that is. But when you get into that flow, believe me, that's when you start the revelation is more progressive, shall we say. And, you know, and as more people are participating, that means other people don't have to do it all. You know what I mean? Just simple math. So, I just want to challenge us today. Now, how many here today maybe feel that they have the gift of giving? I was hoping Troy would raise his hand. He's one of the ones. Amen. There's a couple of more too, I know. Amen. Praise God. You know, and as we start to flow with that. Now, how many want to really get into the flow of the Spirit and want God to use them? Amen. We're going to pray now. We're going to pray for that. It's got to be a desire of our heart that we want God to use us. Amen. Father God, I just thank you for each and every person here today.